I'm very pleased to be joined by my special guest in the Greyhounds Legend of Hockey. This gentleman here, 1972-73 season, led the Sioux Greyhounds in scoring, Mr. John Campbell. John, welcome to the show here tonight.
Thank you for having me.
Well, John, take us back. 1972 was a season. You had a great season. You led the team. Talk about the team. That was when the team come out of the NOJHL and first become in the, I believe it was the OHA for 3 years, and then it become the OHL. But the excitement, what was it like back in 1972 when that team joined that league?
Well, it was kind of hard to explain in that we joined the league, and there were so many good teams in that league that we got bounced around pretty good, but we won a few games too, and most of the games were competitive, but we just didn't have the depth that the rest of the teams had.
I talked briefly, well, I shouldn't say briefly, it was quite an interview with the coach, Abby Caracato, and that season you had 11 wins, 42 losses, and 10 ties, but he spoke of the same thing. The team had good character, and they were in the majority of those games. It must have been awesome to be playing teams like the Toronto Marlies. I believe the Hamilton Finn Cups were in there. Just talk a bit about how the caliber of hockey, how it improved when you guys got into that league.
Well, it was a giant step to start with, because those teams had been building for years, and then you go to Maple Leaf Gardens to play the Marlies and get beat up pretty good, but it was I thought we were fairly competitive in most games, and in a lot of the games we weren't, but we certainly gave it everything we had.
John, I look at the stats and I look at the players on this team. Some players of note: Kerry Ferrelli, he was a rookie on that 72-73 team. Paul Woods, a great player, he was on there. Some local players: Lauren Jarrett was one, Greg Keating, another one. John Simon out of Wawa were some of the players. Talk a little bit about that team. Billy Thompson also was a goaltender. Talk a bit about the players on that team and some of the characters on that squad.
Well, there was a lot of characters, but I won't get into that. But we didn't have a lot of time to get the team together, because I think they were a little late being notified to come in. But the guys that stayed with us, we put as much effort as we could into it, and we obviously were overmatched in some of the contests, but for the most part, I thought we held our own. And the important part is we were a young team, and that was a learning experience for them, for the young guys, and then they'd go on and do pretty well.
I look at your scoring stats in that season. In 63 games, John, you had 32 goals, 46 assists, 78 points. You led the team in scoring. What was the biggest contributing factor to your great season that year that you can remember?
I had great line mates. Paul Woods was my center iceman, and as smooth and smart as it goes. And on the right wing, I can't remember who it was, but he was the tough guy. It certainly wasn't me.
John, we talked earlier about your career in hockey. You were in your final season of eligibility for junior hockey when the Greyhounds did get into the Ontario Hockey Association. Talk about your career, where it led you from there.
Well, after I got drafted by the Rangers in the third round, I went to training camp down in Kitchener, and a guy stuck his knee out, and my knee went with it, and then the doctor said, well, you're going to have to go to New York. So I went to, they flew me to New York at the Lenox Hill Hospital, which is a fairly famous hospital down there, and they didn't have to cut me open, but they had to put me in a cast, and I was in a cast for 6 weeks.
One player, John, that just come to my memory, Donnie Gagne was on that team. Talk a little bit about the late Donnie Gagne.
Donnie was a up and down player on his wing. Did his job, great in the dressing room, and just a super nice guy, which is sometimes hard to get.
We look back at that team. Of course, Angelo Bumbacco was the general manager back then. The coach was Abby Caracato. What kind of coach was Abby? What did you get from Abby?
He was a master of the game. There was very little that he didn't know about it, and he was always trying to improve the play and the style of the team, and he could yell.
another couple that come to my memories of the Sioux Greyhounds, of course, trainer Nick Della Penta, the hours that must have been spent by him, and as his helper was Pete Taylor. I'd talk a little bit about those two.
Well, those two guys were great. Pete would his only voice was Abba, 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 and then when he get mad, it would be even louder. And Nick, he was I'm still friends with Nick. We golfed together in the summertime. So, and he worked his butt off. I'll tell you, it's not easy being a trainer.
One thing that come to mind, the hockey back then, there was one coach. I talked with Coach Caracato, and he mentioned he was responsible for the offense, the defense, the penalty kill, the power play, the whole schmozzle. So that must have been challenging, too. I'm sure that it must have been challenging for a coach like that to have to look after all that.
Oh, absolutely. And he was a rarity in the league that year, because all the other teams had been at it for a while, and they had assistant coaches and things like that. And Nicky was the best. He'd every once in a while somebody would throw something at him at the behind the bench, and he'd turn around and away he'd go.
You described to me, John, after your hockey career, you come back to Sault Ste. Marie, met your beautiful wife, and resided here in Sault Ste. Marie. You were a police constable in the city police here for many, many years, retired now. And one thing that you got into billeting Sioux Greyhound hockey players. Tell the listeners who you billeted here at your place.
Oh, geez. You'd have to ask my wife on this one.
I know one for certain. Probably your favorite is Jeff Carter. Jeff Carter definitely was billeted here. Talk a little bit about that.
Well, he came up to the Sioux, and he never said a word. First year, he never said a word. Second year, he got a little more vocal, and you'd look outside on the street, and he'd be playing street hockey with the neighborhood kids, and having a hoot. Just a super, super nice guy, and we still keep track of him. I guess he's back in Pittsburgh now, and we've been out to LA to see his place out there, and he's invited us out there, and just a real gentleman.
It's unfortunate that there's only so much time in these interviews. We could talk forever. Tell me a Harry Wolf story. You know, a legendary broadcaster that was my absolute favorite down the line. There must be something that comes to your mind about Harry Wolf.
Well, Harry and Pete were really, really close. So we'd be on the bus, and Pete would be asleep, and Harry would sneak out and go by him and go down and get dressed up in a friggin' wig or something, and then he'd come back and sit in front of him. And then he'd go, Pete. Well, Pete couldn't hear, so he'd shake him.
And it had a lot of fun back in the days with the boys. Well, Johnny, we'll have to do it again. It's been a pleasure and an honor to watch you play Sioux Greyhounds. I was pretty young back then, but I know you were a great player and a great citizen of Sault Ste. Marie. Enjoy it here.
Well, thank you very, very much, and I appreciate interviewing me.